You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained. Overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken. We trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. Welcome to the program. Today is the 25th day of March, 2021. Guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. And the chat room is available at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. So this particular chapter we are going to be starting today is Chapter 8 of the Holy Priesthood, Volume 1, and we're going to be talking about the Temple Endowment, and it's going to be a long chapter. I tried splitting it up, and I don't know how I'm going to split up the third part, because, oh my gosh, it is long, and we're going to talk about the Second Anointing. I might even have my wife over the weekend help me so that we can get through more of it, because you know, she talks quicker than I do. She reads quicker than I do, but I'm not sure exactly how that's all going to work at this point, but we are going to cover it. So anyway, we're in the first part and should be about an hour-long program, unless we have callers or people asking questions or whatever in the chat room. Now, I'll dedicate the program and we'll get right into the reading. O God, the Eternal Father, We come to thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We ask thee, Father, to forgive us of our sins and our transgressions through the atonement of Jesus Christ. We ask thee to sanctify us that we may have thy Spirit to be with us. We love thee, Father, and we ask for thy blessings to be upon us as we dedicate our time unto thee to learn of thy gospel and the restored truths brought about by Jesus Christ to the prophet Joseph Smith. We love thee, Father, and we ask for minds and hearts to be opened as we consider these things. We do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Temple Endowment, Part 1 of Chapter 8 of the Holy Priesthood, Volume 3, pages 104 to 107. The significance of the endowment includes as included as an introduction to this chapter is an excerpt from a sermon given by Brigham Young in the Salt Lake Tabernacle, April 6, 1853, when the cornerstone for the Salt Lake Temple was being laid, wherein he emphasized the importance of temples and the endowment. Quote, soon after the restoration, the church, through our beloved prophet Joseph, was commanded to build a temple to the Most High in Kirtland, Ohio, and this was the next house of the Lord we hear on the earth since the days of Solomon's temple. Joseph not only received revelation and commandment to build a temple, but he received a pattern also, as did Moses for the tabernacle and Solomon for his temple. For without a pattern, he would not know what was wanting, having never seen one, and not having experienced its use. Without revelation, Joseph could not know what was wanting any more than any other man. And without commandment, the church, too few in numbers, too weak in faith, and too poor to pursue, or in purse to attempt such a mighty enterprise. But by means of all these stimulants, a mere handful of men living on air and a little hominy and milk, and often salt or no salt when milk could not be had, the great prophet Joseph in the stone quarry, quarrying rock with his own hands, and the few men in the church following his example of obedience and diligence wherever most needed, with laborers on walls, holding the sword in one hand to protect themselves from the mob, while they placed the stone and moved the trowel with the other. The Kirtland Temple, the second house of the Lord that we have any public record of on the earth, was so far completed as to be dedicated. And those first elders who helped to build it received a portion of their first endowments, or we might say more clearly, some of the first or introductory or initiatory ordinances preparatory to an endowment. The preparatory ordinances there administered accompanied by the ministration of angels and the presence of the Lord Jesus, were but a faint similitude of the ordinances of the house of the Lord in their fullness. Yet many, through the instigation of the devil, thought they had received all and knew as much as God. They have apostatized and gone to hell. But be assured, brethren, there are but few, very few of the elders of Israel now on the earth who know of the meaning of the word endowment. To know, they must experience, and to experience, a temple must be built. Let me give you the definition in brief. Your endowment is to receive all those ordinances in the house of the Lord, which are necessary for you after you have departed from this life, to enable you to walk back in the presence of the Father, passing the angels who stand as sentinels, being enabled to give them the keywords, the signs, and tokens pertaining to the holy priesthood, and gain your eternal exaltation in spite of earth and hell. Who has received and understands such an endowment in this assembly? You need not answer. Your voices would be few and far between. Yet the keys of these endowments are among you, and thousands have received them, so that the devil, with all his aids, need not suppose he can again destroy the holy priesthood from the earth by killing a few, for he cannot do it. God has set his hand for the last time to redeem his people, the honest of heart, and Satan cannot hinder him. Before these endowments could be given at Kirtland, the saints had to flee before mobocracy, and by toil and daily labor they found places in Missouri where they laid the cornerstones of the temples in Zion and her stakes, and then had to retreat to Illinois to save the lives of those who could get away alive from Missouri, where fell the Apostle David W. Penn, with many like associates, and where they were imprisoned in loathsome dungeons and fed on human flesh, Joseph and Hiram and many others. But before this had transpired, the temple at Kirtland had fallen into the hands of wicked men, and by them have been polluted, like the temple at Jerusalem, and consequently it was disowned by the Father and the Son. At Nauvoo, Joseph dedicated another temple, the third on record. He knew what was wanting, for he had previously been given most of the prominent, individuals than before him their endowment. He needed no revelation then of a thing he had long experienced. Hold on, my son is in the room. What do you want, boy? You're looking for tape? What kind of tape? Duct tape. Walk to Huntington and get it. I don't know. Anyway, Emmett, can you go down the stairs and get me a drink and come up the stairs with the drink and give it to me? No, not no, no. Anyway, I actually would have been more prepared today, but Emmett had an ARF, what is it called? FFA thing, and they went to Tooele on the bus with the high school. And I get a call about 3:30 about how Emmett is not going to get back to the high school to get on the bus to come home, so I need to go pick him up, and my wife is still up in Carbon County. And he says that he is at a specific place, which is about 10 miles away from where he was when I picked him up. So instead of getting off the bus at the specific place that he said he was, he continues riding the bus down towards the high school, which is about, I don't know, 30, 20, well, it's a ways away from where we live. So anyway, so I had to chase him all over Emory County because he didn't get off the bus when he said he was getting off the bus. So like right before the radio show started, I like ran into my room that I do my radio show in, and here we are. All right, continuing on with Brigham Young's quote. He needed no revelation then of a thing he had long experienced, any more than those now do, who have experienced the same things. It is only where experience fails that revelation is needed. The temple at Nauvoo passed into the hands of the enemy, who polluted it to the extent the Lord not only ceased to occupy it, but he loathed to have it called by his name and permitted the wrath of the possessors to purify it by fire, because it was burned down, as a token of what will speedily fall on them and their inhabitants unless they repent. But, like, not only was it burned down, like, it caught fire several times when they were trying to use it for the endowments, but then it burned down completely. And then, just for fun, I guess, God allowed a tornado to come through the area and completely wipe it off the face of the planet. I mean, like, when I went there before they built the new one, I think in 2003, I went there like in 99 or 2000. There was a hole in the ground where the temple used to be. There was nothing there. So, I don't know. It's all interesting. Let's see here. But what are we here for this day? To celebrate the birthday of our religion, to lay the foundation of a temple to the Most High God, so that when his son... Thank you, Emmett. Okay. Are you making me a whole bunch of Mexican food?
No.
What? Not everyone else, you.
Not everyone else.
Cook, Chef Emmett.
You're a
chef. Cook, or I will flog you.
We can't cook. Everyone's doing stuff.
Make a thing.
Make a thing.
I want fresh chicken.
Not have a chicken.
They're walking around outside in the yard. Anyway, let's see. To celebrate the birthday of our religion, to lay the foundation of the temple to the Most High God, so that when his son, our elder brother, shall again appear, he may have a place where he can lay his head and not only spend a night or a day, but find a place of peace that he may stay till he can say, I am satisfied. Journal of Discourses, Volume 2, pages 31, 32, and 33. The Melchizedek priesthood, which a woman shares in conjunction with her husband, is the authority by which the power of godliness is manifest. In preparation to receive the first endowment, this higher priesthood is necessary. Quote, and this greater priesthood administereth the gospel and holdeth the keys of the mysteries of the kingdom, even the key of knowledge of the Son of God. Therefore, in an ordinance thereof, the power of godliness is manifest, and without the ordinances thereof, the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness, is not manifest in the men in the flesh. For without this, no man can see the face of God, even the Father, and live. But I would suggest that no woman can see the face of God the Father and live, or even be in the presence of God the Father. And keep that in mind, because I'm going to talk about something as soon as I'm done with this reading. But I'm going to save that for after the reading is over with. All right. Even the Father and live. Now this Moses plainly taught that the children of Israel in the wilderness sought diligently to sanctify his people that they might behold the face of God. But they hardened their hearts and could not endure his presence. Therefore, the Lord in his wrath, for his anger was kindled against them, swore that they should not enter into his rest while in the wilderness, which rest is the fullness of his glory. Therefore, he took Moses out of their midst, and the holy priesthood also, and the lesser priesthood continued, which priesthood holdeth the keys of the ministering of angels and of the preparatory gospel. Okay, so that's the first part of the endowment. You know what? maybe I should just read the next part because that was pretty quick. I read it quick today. Something might be wrong with me because I don't usually read it that quick, but I read it that quick today. So let's see. First Endowment Part 2. Pages 107 to 113. Let me see. Oh, hold on here. Send a copy. I gotta put it into my reader program. It just makes it easier to keep track of what I'm reading when I do that. All right. Let's see here. Yeah, we'll go for it. Yeah, I think we'll go for it. All right. So the first endowment is the next part. I'm just going to put it in this one episode because, like, wow, I finished that one off pretty quick. All right, let's see here. The first endowment, part 2 of chapter 8 of the Holy Priesthood, volume 3, pages 107 through 113. Now, tomorrow I guess I'll get into the second endowment. And we'll see how that goes. So, because I am working tonight, and then I'll be up all day with the kid, with my boy, and then at 4 p.m. I'll do the radio show if I'm able to. I don't know if I'll be able to, but we'll see. Among the most important instructions, commandments, and ordinances taught to the early church members by the prophet Joseph Smith was the temple endowment. The endowment you are so anxious about, you cannot comprehend now, nor could Gabriel explain it to the understanding of your dark minds. But strive to be prepared in your hearts, be faithful in all things, that when we meet in solemn assembly, that is, when such as God shall name out of all the official members shall meet, we must be clean every whit. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 91. Nevertheless, an effort should be put forth to understand as clearly as possible the meaning and nature of the endowment, especially by those who wish to magnify their priesthood. John A. Witzo explained, quote, "The temple endowment relates the story of man's eternal journey, sets forth the conditions upon which progress is the eternal journey depends." I don't think I read that right. Sets forth the conditions upon which progress in the eternal journey depends. Requires covenants or agreements of those participating to accept and use the laws of progress. Gives tests by which our willingness and fit for righteousness may be known, and finally points out the ultimate destiny of those who love truth and live by it. Priesthood and Church Government by John A. Witzo, page 333. There are some who think that a woman receives the priesthood when she gets her endowment. However, Heber C. Kimball clarified this. Okay, first of all, okay, I just want to say something. If a man does not have priesthood unless it is conferred upon him by the laying on of hands, like the prophet Aaron was given priesthood by Moses by the laying on of hands, then women don't get priesthood just because they go through a ritual without the laying on of hands. Some people teach falsely that women have priesthood just by the fact that they have, that they're women. That's not true either. Okay. So just throwing it out there, in order to receive priesthood, whether you're a man or a woman, you've got to have it by the laying on of hands. And if you have not had it properly conferred upon you by one who had the authority to confer it, then you don't have it. It applies to you ladies in your family capacity. You have not any priesthood, only in connection with your husbands, you suppose that you receive the priesthood when you receive your endowment, but the priesthood is on your husband's. Journal of Discourses, Volume 5, page 31. Okay, I just got to say this. Just because they say it doesn't make it true. They can speculate and talk about things. Doesn't make it true. Okay, now, I'm gonna get off this topic for just a minute, and I'm gonna read something that I wrote this morning after thinking about things last night. Random thoughts I had while driving my semi-truck last night. Joseph Smith taught, in order to come into the presence of God the Father, a person must have Melchizedek priesthood. Joseph Smith taught all priesthood is Melchizedek. He also taught that one of the blessings of going into the celestial kingdom was the ability to go into the presence of the Father. He also taught that only exalted people are married in the celestial kingdom, but that single people will be in the two lower degrees of the celestial kingdom. And to be in the celestial kingdom, you will be in the presence of the Father, which means you must have Melchizedek priesthood. Now, here's my point. A single woman can be in the celestial kingdom in the presence of the Father, and being single, she will not be able to share in her husband's priesthood. And I put that in there because everybody's like, well, she shares in her husband's priesthood. If she's single, then she doesn't share in her husband's priesthood. She has to have her own. Also, this whole idea that, well, God will make it right in the next life. Now, Alma, I think it was Alma, this is the line, this is the time for men to prepare to meet God, this life. This is the life, this is the time when the works must be done to prepare to meet God. Jesus Christ said that they are not given in marriage in the resurrection. So these ideas that people are just going to be married at some later time, like, first of all, that's interesting to think about, but that doesn't align with Scripture. But also, you can be single and not be married and still be in the celestial kingdom and in the presence of the Father. Okay, my wife is calling in. Let me merge her in. Hello? Hi, I'm here. And you're on the radio, so.
Oh, hi, everybody. Are you working tomorrow?
No, tomorrow's Friday night. I will take Friday night to Saturday night off.
Okay, because I forgot to stop and grab what you asked me to grab, and I was like, maybe I can do it tomorrow afterwards.
Okay, I can't remember what I asked you to grab.
Oh, we'll talk about it later.
Okay. Anyway, I'm just talking about that quote that I wrote down and posted all over the place this morning. Did you read it?
No. Oh, maybe, yes. What you were thinking about in your truck last night, you told me about that this morning. Yeah.
Yeah, but I only mentioned it. I didn't, like, go into full detail because, like, you were trying to get ready and all that stuff. I'm doing a radio show.
I was just talking with our friend Beverly, and I was just talking about them, about how I need to have less in my life. Like, we have so much, and I have too much to manage, and I want to have more time to just be, like, be with my kids. I would be content. Sorry, he's up.
It's fine. Uh-oh. You're breaking up. Are you just getting into Emory County?
Yeah. Yep.
Arias! Arias! What is wrong with the mister? Hi there, mister.
So anyways, I just need less things to have to do because, you know, working full-time and trying to do the kids, and I'm trying to figure out how to do that Ozbot thing, which is super cool, and I'm excited for my kids to do it. But I need to learn how to do it, to teach them how to do it, and that's just more time. So
what we need is a better computer.
Yeah, and better internet. But I need to do less. Like, I need to have less things. But I'm not, it's like, what am I willing to give up? I don't want to give up the goats. I don't want to give up the farm. I love to do that, and I think it's good for the kids to learn how to farm, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't want to give that up. But I have so much, like, cooking and cleaning and housing and all that stuff that I do also. So I'm like, oh,
well,
maybe we just
that's
need
why
to
our kids
clothes.
Need to live on TV dinners.
Yeah.
Is he seriously talking? Is he talking?
Yeah, he's singing. Hi, monkey.
He's singing?
Yeah, he's singing.
He's silly. Oh, I don't hear you at all now. Are you there?
Well, yeah, but then there was an officer, and I didn't actually hear the radar detector.
Oh.
And he's still singing.
Okay. What is that? Is he... I don't know. I don't even know. All right, let me finish my thoughts that I was going on about before you called. But that single people will be in the lower degrees of the celestial kingdom. So, like, this whole idea that, well, they'll just get married in the celestial kingdom. What if they are not worthy of exaltation? And exaltation is the only people who get or stay married are people who receive that highest degree of glory. If they are females or males, they will be in the two lower degrees of the celestial kingdom, but they'll still be in the presence of the Father. So the woman cannot rely on the priesthood of her husband to come into the presence of God, which means she has to have her own priesthood. All right. And being single, she will not be able to share in her husband's priesthood, which means she must have her own priesthood, which is Melchizedek, because Joseph Smith taught all priesthood is Melchizedek. Her priesthood is matriarchal, which is a truth not yet embraced by most of Mormonism. Just thoughts are just things I think about while I am driving. So, and then everybody's like, well, I think women have access to the priesthood. Okay. If you have access to the priesthood, you still don't have the priesthood, and you have to have the priesthood to come into the presence of the Father. Well, anyway, I'm a thinker of thoughts, and I think a thought a lot. Hey, that's kind of like, that kind of rhymes a little bit. I think a thought a lot. All right, love you, Kim. Thank you for not laughing at me in my face, on my ear, whatever. All right. I don't know if she's still on.
Well, he probably would, but he is whining, so I've been keeping it muted.
Oh, okay. All right, let me continue
also,
reading.
Also, I'll be home in just a little bit, and then I have to do the goats and everything, and so I'll probably not be on for a minute again.
Okay, you can just mute yourself and listen, and if you have anything to say, just unmute yourself and break into the conversation that I'm having with myself. All right, let's see. This is also mentioned by Michael Homer, Salt Lake City attorney, in his Sunstone paper presented at Salt Lake City, August 1994. Quote, even if Joseph Smith did not initially distinguish between holding and sharing the priesthood, and some ambiguity was created when he and other church leaders referred to the endowment as priesthood, perhaps because of its Masonic connection. Church leaders, after the death of Joseph Smith, have constantly taught that women do not hold the priesthood individually. And, quote, Mormon women and sacred rituals from the Relief Society to the Holy Order. Even though the endowment is not an actual conferral of priesthood, it does embrace the blessings, powers, privileges, and gifts from on high that pertain to that priesthood. Heber C. Kimball spoke to those who had received their first endowments, quote, you have been anointed to be kings and priests, or queens and priestesses, but you have not been ordained to it yet. And you have got to get it by being faithful in the second anointing. The husband and the wife are ordained king and queen, priest and priestess to the Most High God for time and throughout all eternity. End quote. Woman's Exponent 13, volume 13, page 61, I'm not sure. September 15th, 1884. Okay, just bringing up a thought. I've heard it said that women are not ordained to offices within a priesthood. When Joseph and Oliver received priesthood, they had it conferred upon them with no office, which means a person can have priesthood without being ordained to an office. However, being a king and a queen is an office in the priesthood, but being a priest and being a priestess, they're also offices within priesthood. Priestess is part of the matriarchal priesthood. Continuing on. Women, as well as men, can participate in both these privileges and blessings of the priesthood. When the Relief Society was about to be organized, the prophet told the sisters, "I am glad to have the opportunity of organizing the women as part of the priesthood belongs to them. And I will organize the sisters under the priesthood after a pattern of the priesthood." End quote. Sarah S. Levitt, autobiography, as quoted in Mormon Enigma by Newell and Avery, page 106, and The Woman's Voices by Godfrey, see pages 27 through 29. He did not say with the priesthood or in the priesthood, but under the priesthood and after the pattern of the priesthood. Right. That was Ogden Krupp's commentary. In 1906, Relief Society President Bathsheba Smith and Secretary Emmeline Wells corrected a published historical account of the first Relief Society meeting that included Sarah M. Kimball's recollection that the prophet had desired to organize women in the order of the priesthood, almost certainly at the request of priesthood leaders concerned about misunderstanding. They searched for the phrase in the original Relief Society minutes and confirmed that no such statement was made there. And quote, Relief Society Jubilee, Woman's Exponent, Volume 20, page 141, April 1st, 1882. The prophet indicated that both men and women are a part of the organization of the priesthood and that the sisters would come in possession of the privileges, blessings, and gifts of the priesthood and that signs should follow them. Doctrinal History of the Church, Volume 4, page 602. This would include the privilege and blessings of the temple endowment. Joseph Smith also gave another important message to the Relief Society in April of 1842. He spoke of delivering the keys to the society and to the church that according to his prayers, God had appointed him elsewhere, that the keys of the kingdom are about to be given to them, that they may be able to detect everything false as well as to the elders. Words of Joseph Smith, compilation by E. Hatt and Cook, page 117. The same passage reads a little differently in the Doctrinal History of the Church. Quote, he spoke of delivering the keys of the priesthood to the church and said that the faithful members of the Relief Society should receive them in connection with their husbands, that the saints whose integrity has been tried and proved faithful might know how to ask the Lord and receive an answer. For according to his prayers, God had appointed him elsewhere, for the keys of the kingdom are about to be given to them. that they may be able to detect everything false. Doctrinal History of the Church, Volume 4, page 605, 604 and 605. Hold on, I gotta. My foot is bothering me. I gotta fix something real quick. Oh, man. Okay, that's better. I'll just fix the other one. All right. I think that'll be better. All right, let's see here. And I need to get a drink also. All right. This quote seems to be saying that the priesthood keys delivered to the church, both men and women would be able to learn the true order of prayer in order to receive answers to their prayers and detect everything false. It was shortly after this that Joseph transferred the keys of the kingdom from his shoulders to those of the 12 with instructions that they should give them to others. Some researchers feel that when Joseph Smith mentioned delivering the keys to the society in April 1842, he desired to give them priesthood. But Michael Homer interestingly points out that this took place. Quote, before the endowment had been given to the initial 9 male members of the Holy Order, and more than 1.5 years before any woman joined the Order. And that would have been in September of 1843, wives began to be endowed, anointed, and sealed in plural marriage. It is therefore more likely that the keys referred to the creation of a society, which is the official interpretation, rather than priesthood. 1994, Salt Lake City, Sunstone Symposium paper. On the 28th of May, 1843, Joseph Smith and Emma were sealed in marriage for time and eternity. This marriage ceremony consisted of promises and privileges pertaining to both mortality and eternity. In this ordinance, Emma was promised that she could receive every blessing and promised that he should receive based on her faithfulness unto the end. Wherever he could go, she could go. There were no restrictions or qualifications because she did not have the priesthood. According to the statement by President Wilford Woodruff, no man should minister in any of the ordinances in the temple without the priesthood. Joseph Smith did not call upon any man to ordain or to baptize him, but he waited until the Lord sent forth his servants to administer unto him. He was commanded of the Lord to go forth and be baptized, and not until he had received the priesthood. Where did he get it? And in fact, what is the priesthood? It is the authority of God in heaven to the sons of men to administer in any of the ordinances of his house. There never was a man, and never will be a man, in this or any other age of the world, who has authority or power and authority to administer in one of the ordinances of the house of God, unless he is called of God, as was Aaron, which was by the laying on of hands, or somebody having authority to give priesthood, which was Moses, and he got it from Jethro, who was a priest of Midian. Unless he has the holy priesthood and is administered to by those holding that authority. There was no man on the face of the earth, nor had been for the last 70 centuries, who had power and authority from God to go forth and administer in one of the ordinances of the house of God. And that is Priesthood and Church Government by John A. Widtsoe, page 27. And Witzel also explained, quote, ordinations of men to the Melchizedek priesthood are performed as a necessary prerequisite to receiving the endowment of the temple, and that's in the same book, Priesthood and Church Government, page 333. With women, however, it is a little different. It is a precept of the church that women of the church share the authority of the priesthood with their husbands, actual or prospective, and therefore, women, whether taking the endowment for themselves or for the dead, are not ordained to specific rank in the priesthood. Nevertheless, there is no grade, rank, or phase of the temple endowment to which women are not eligible on an equality with men. Truth, there are certain of the higher ordinances to which an unmarried woman cannot be admitted, but the rule is equally in force as to the bachelor. The married state is regarded as sacred, sanctified, and holy in all temple procedures. And within the house of the Lord, the woman is equal and the helpmeet of the man. In the privileges and blessings of the holy place, the utterances of Paul is regarded as a scriptural decree in full force and effect. Neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. And quote, The House of the Lord by James E. Talmage, page 94. The priesthood is a power which extends beyond the grave, even being necessary to stand in the presence of God. Quoting again from Apostle Witzel, quote, Perhaps in no manner is the power of the priesthood more evident than in the authority that it possesses to seal for time and eternity. For example, marriages may be consummated within the church for all time, not merely until death do them part. Family relationships may be continued throughout the eternities. The power of the priesthood extends beyond the grave. Temple work, including baptism, the endowment, sealings, etc., is a function of the priesthood. It is by this power that work for the dead may be done. It is by the power of the priesthood that a person may attain celestial glory. Without the power of the priesthood, one cannot enter the presence of God. Priesthood and Church Government, page 42. And that just keeps on going back to what I was talking about before. If you are a single woman and you are one of the two lower degrees of the celestial kingdom, you don't share in the priesthood of your husband. But in order to be in the celestial kingdom, to be in the presence of God, you have to have priesthood. And I'm just bringing all this up because there is a thing called matriarchal priesthood. It's just one of the mysteries that are being revealed, that have been revealed already, but then people have gone away from the restoration and lost knowledge. But it's been restored to me, so I talk about it. And I'm not the only one that knows about it. Like, there's lots of fundamentalists that know about priesthood. Oh, excuse me. And it's called matriarchal, not Magdalenian priesthood. Like, there's an individual who I shall not name in a church that he has started that I cannot stand. And this man is a gay man. I think he's gay. I know he seals homosexual marriages, and they give priesthood to women as well. And he calls it the Magdalene priesthood. And I'm like, what? And he's, part of the Mormon tradition. He was a member of the LDS Church, and he does. They actually have a branch of nice LDS-looking chapel that they meet in, and I keep track of them because I think they're interesting. So, anyway, Thus, if a woman is to stand before God, then it is through the same power, the same priesthood power, that she is able to do so. The first endowment then shows men and women that they can achieve what they can achieve based upon their faithfulness and worthiness. A conditional promise that they can become such in the second anointing, the husband and the wife, or the wives, are actually ordained kings and queens, priests and priestesses unto the Most High God for time and throughout all eternity. Juvenile Instructor, which is a magazine by the church, volume 15, page 111. All right, that's all I'm going to get into today, because that is more than enough. I read so much that I don't usually read. Tomorrow when we get into the reading, which I think is going to be, it'll probably be just as long. Maybe I can get through it. Maybe I'm doing better and not going off on tangents. The second anointing, which will be part two of chapter 8 of the Holy Priesthood, volume 3, and we'll be on pages 114 through 130, but I'm going to leave that for tomorrow. So hopefully I can come on tomorrow and do the program and I won't be so tired. Anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you for those who listen. Take care, everyone. God bless. And goodbye.